Hey, welcome back to the Dwell Differently podcast. I'm Natalie, and I'm so glad that you're here right now. We have such a great guest and such an awesome conversation in store for you. Joanna Kimbrell is an author and a Bible teacher, and she is talking about control. And let me tell you, you need to hear this message. I need to hear this message. Joanna needs to hear this message. It is about our desire to be the one who is the boss, to be the one who is in control, and also what we do when we feel totally out of control. Our verse this month is the answer to both of those problems, feeling like we are in control or feeling like we are out of control. It tells us that Jesus is the one who is ultimately in control and that he is good. It's from Colossians 1:17, and it says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You want to memorize this verse with us? You want to live it out? Well, this conversation is going to help you do just that. Joanna does such a great job of unpacking that verse and telling us both why we want to live like this is true and how we can do it. So let's jump in together.
Hey, I'm Natalie Abbott.
And I'm Vera Schmitz. We are sisters who host the Dwell Differently podcast.
We help you memorize and meditate on one Bible verse every month. And all month long on our podcast, we talk about what that verse means, why it matters, and how we can apply that verse to our daily lives.
Guys, it is the end of the month, and I am so excited to wrap up this verse that we've been memorizing together. It's from Colossians 1:17. It's about Jesus, and it says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Unless you should think like, hey, I'm going to skip this episode because I already heard all the things about this. No, you haven't. Today, I've got Joanna Kimbrell with me, and we are going to be diving deep into the application of this verse. Why does it matter? How do we live this out? How do we take all of our things and give them to Jesus? We're talking about control and how we love to be in control. So welcome, Joanna. And I feel like that's a bad introduction for you. Like somehow that means that you're like a super control freak.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I struggle with control, so it's fitting. I mean, we all do though, don't we?
We do. Yeah, yes.
We do. Welcome to the club.
Yeah. Here we all are. We're going to just talk about the things that are true and frankly, just who we are as humans. Yeah. So, but before we dive into this, in my teaching podcast, I talked about how sometimes I end up at Aldi without a quarter and like I'm shoving all the things in the box and I think I only need to get 5 things, but I end up with like 25 things and I'm like sweating and pitting out and everybody's looking at me, or I think everybody's looking at me. I just feel hot. Yeah. But I have a question for you, Joanna, before we dive into this verse. Can you tell me a story about a time in your life where you felt like you had way too many things in your Aldi box? Like everything's falling out, you're balancing, you're like, dragging it along on the floor. Like when is a time where you feel like this is me trying to hold all things together? Because if we're going to talk about Jesus holding all things together, like what does it look like in our life? What does it look like in your life, Joanna?
Well, I have to ask, have you been reading my journal? Because this is something I've been walking through.
No. know,
this conversation is actually really fitting for me right now, because this is just something that the Lord has been convicting me of, is my tendency to try to hold it all together and to just pile on too many things also. So, I mean, I could honestly, we could sit here and tell stories all day, but I think I'll share a story from this past year, the end of the summer. I was 3 months postpartum and I had just returned back to work from home. So that, that does help a little. I was working on a couple of writing projects that I thought this is a good idea to do all of these. and we're doing a seminary class. Also, fantastic idea, right?
Timing.
Yeah, great, exactly. Timing. So I am doing all of this and then the phone rings and turns out that my daughter, my three-year-old, had fallen and hit her head on the concrete. And my husband is taking her to the children's hospital. So my daughter, my baby, had just woken up from her nap. I fed her, jumped in the car, and drove straight to the ER. And after some testing, she was admitted to the hospital. And so I stayed with her And we ended up staying in the hospital for 3 nights. She's okay. I just want to say that she's great. She's just like new. But here I am in the children's hospital away from my nursing baby in the midst of so much going on, and just have this child here who I'm helpless to really do anything. You know, I'm waiting for test results. I'm waiting another night to see when are we going to go home. And I also was hoping that I could get home in time for my oldest daughter to start kindergarten at a brand new school just a couple of days later.
Oh my
goodness. And so I'm sitting here in this situation where this illusion of my self-sufficiency was just shattered. And I was forced to start to depend on other people instead of on myself in that situation. Had to become aware of my need for others. So, you know, I have my sister bringing me clothes and snacks and food and toys for my daughter and a breast pump so I can send milk back to my nursing baby. And I have family and friends coming back and forth to deliver milk and to bring me new things that I need or to visit. My sister came and sat in the hospital room with my daughter so I could take a shower. You know, all of these things that I really like to be able to do myself and to really hold together myself really just fell apart. And it was not a fun experience. It was really scary. It was overwhelming. But I can also look back and I can see the mercy of God and the gift that he gave me in reminding me that I don't hold all things together. And in that moment, it was just this picture of, oh yeah, this is all out of my hands. Everything that I thought was in line now is just out. And so it really was this gift of God reminding me, I don't hold all things together. And I had to moment by moment trust in him and depend on him, knowing that he is the one who does.
That is really great. I think what you said about the illusion that we have, like, don't we live in that illusion? Like 98% of the time we are living under this illusion, this false reality that we've created or constructed in our minds. Like, I got it all together.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, as long as life is going kind of according to plan, we can keep that illusion up. But it's as soon as something goes off, as soon as something's unexpected or challenging, that's when we start to say, oh, okay, I don't have all this together.
I want to come back, circle back around to that in a little bit here, because I think that that is one of the sort of applications of this verse. I think it's a really great application of this verse. But before I do, for those of you who don't know, Joanna wrote a kid's book on the book of Romans. And for those of you who don't know, the book of Romans is like one of the hardest books in the Bible. I mean, maybe Revelation is a little harder, but it is like, for those of you who memorized with us the verse in Romans earlier in the year, like, you know, when we talk about the book of Romans, like, it is so steeped. It is like a theological treatise, and it is like thick and doctrine and all the things. So I love that you wrote a kid's book. I didn't even know that was a thing that you could possibly do. But my husband, who is a pastor, always says that if you can't explain something to a child, then you probably don't actually understand it. So I'm gonna draw on your expertise in explaining big theological concepts, because really this is a big theological concept. This is talking about Jesus being before all things and holding all things together. What does that actually mean? So will you explain that to me like I'm a 7-year-old?
Yeah. Oh, I will try my best.
Okay.
So I think that I would explain this by saying, before there was anything else, before the world was here, before the universe was here, before there were dinosaurs or flowers or chocolate chip cookies or the sky, God's son was there. He was there with God forever and ever and ever. And not only that, but he keeps everything working. Without him, everything would fall apart. Our hearts are beating, the world is spinning, the trees are growing, all because of Jesus.
I love that. That is so beautiful. Everything works because of Jesus. That's a great way of like reimagining or retelling what is true in this verse in a way that kind of helps us understand it. Like everything would fall apart if it weren't for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that is such a great application. So as an adult, we can take these concepts and apply them to our lives. So as an adult, how does this verse hit you? What do you right now need to hear in this verse? Obviously you said, am I reading your journal? I'm not, but what is the thing that, you know, like this is applicable to our 5-year-olds. This is applicable to 55-year-olds and 105-year-olds. Like, how do we as adults though, how do you, Joanna, listen, hear these words about Jesus and what do you need to hear in them?
Yeah. You know, the more I meditated on this verse preparing for this conversation, the more I realized how wide reaching the application of this verse is and how much there is here that I really need to hear. And, you know, I think the first thing that hit me is just how powerful Jesus is. You know, the verses before this say that everything was created through him and now he's holding it all together. And so this just shows the incredible power of the Son of God, that he literally holds everything together. He made everything. And from there, I just began to be overwhelmed with the grace of God that that same Christ, that same Jesus, with all of his power, came down to me, that he gave his life for me. And he's on my side. That power that holds the world, that holds the universe together is on my side. And that is just mind-blowing grace to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also there is so much rest there. You know, I think that one thing that I find myself struggling with is restlessness. And it can play out in busyness or, you know, all these different ways. But when I think about the fact that Christ has all this power, he's on my side so much to the point that he gave his life for me. Of course, how is he not going to also give me all things along with that? Mm. And so I can rest in the fact that he is working on my side and he is able to do everything that I need. You know, I can become so anxious and troubled thinking, okay, I need to do X, Y, and Z to make sure that everything goes according to plan. And I can just become so weary with worrying over what's to come and trying to ensure the best possible outcome. And the truth is, I don't need to ensure the best possible outcome. I can't hold all things together, and I was never meant to. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that this is part of the reason that God gave his people the Sabbath, right? It's not just to rest their bodies, but to rest from their self-sufficiency. Right, to rest from their efforts to hold it all together and to acknowledge that he is the one who holds it all together weekly, right? To have this rhythm of rest so that we can acknowledge we are not in control of all of this. He is. And there is that's not a punishment. That's not God withholding something from us. It's actually grace to us that he is in control and we are not. I think about those verses in Psalm 127. That says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. And it says, it is in vain that you rise early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. And so it's this rest, this gift that when I rest from my work, when I rest from my worrying, my toiling, my trying to hold it all together, things aren't going to fall apart. Because he is holding it all together.
Yeah. And the idea that we are holding it all together, like you said, it's an illusion.
It's
an illusion.
It's what an are illusion. We doing? And that can sound really scary, but it's not, right? Mm-hmm. It might feel like a scary illusion if you don't know the heart of God for you, if you haven't spent time with him, if you haven't seen his character and his word, if you haven't meditated on the truth of who he is, that might feel really scary. And let's be real, sometimes it still does. But the more that we draw near to him, the more that we depend on him, the more that we ask him for our daily bread, we begin to see his character and realize, oh my goodness, it is so much better to have him in control than me. Because surely I will mess it up, right. But he will.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. No, that reminds me of the last verse in this little paragraph that we find this. It says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." And you see that, like, in that paragraph, you see Jesus has created all things, like you said, mm-hmm. Jesus is holding all things together. And then Jesus is also the one who's working about reconciliation and bringing all things to a place of being right, yeah. right? So that we can mm-hmm. trust him with all things, yeah. with our things, because we know the end of the story. You know, we know that he's not only reconciled us right now, but at one point, you know, in the future, he will come again and fully bring all things into beautiful perfection and redemption. And it's beautiful.
Natalie, I think that that is so important, because I think that sometimes we hear things like, oh, God works all things together for good. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's holding it all together. And we look around and we're like, no, he's not.
right.
Like, have you seen what's going on? And yeah. we can look at people whose, you know, lives have come to an end and there are things that mm-hmm. are unresolved. And we mm-hmm. think, well, how can you say that he's holding all things together and that he's working all things for good and I can trust his control? But when we look to eternity and we really do realize that this short time on earth is not all that there is, then yeah. we can trust, okay, there is something coming. Even if we can't see it now, we can right. trust that he will bring all things together. He will make all things new and everything will be made right. And that, I think we really have to anchor our hope there. Because if we don't, then it looks like things are chaos, you know?
Yeah.
It looks like things are not working together, but there's more than just these few years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we also talked last month, our verse had to do with, being joyful in hope and faithful in prayer and patient in affliction. And that idea of God using affliction to create hope in us, like when we are going through the hard thing. So if you're a listener and you didn't listen to that series from last month, that might be an encouragement to you where you're like, okay, yeah, but yeah. where do I find that hope? How do I patiently endure when things are hard? And I think we really kind of dived into that significantly last month. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a season of life where things seem hard and you're like, yeah, but how do I get there? There's yeah. a lot there for you where we can really give you some tools in those episodes to help you think through that difficult season. But I think when I think about this verse, so I think that there are two different ways that we can come at it and two different types of like situations, maybe two different pitfalls that we can fall into. Either we don't want God's control because we want to be the boss because everything feels like it's safe and it's fine and I got it under control, or everything feels way out of control and we're like, I don't even think Jesus can fix this. Mm. So I want to go to both of those sort of reactions to this verse. So if you're that person who is feeling like a boss, and you're mm-hmm. like, I got it. It's like we were talking about earlier. We got that 98% of the time. We're like, I think I'm doing, I got this. I'm doing good.
A pretty good job. Like, this things are working out pretty well.
Have you yeah. guys seen what I'm doing over here? It's really great. I mean, I'm not kidding. We do that. I do that. I do yeah. that so often. And I know that it's a sin. So what do we do when we're caught in that place where like, yeah, I don't actually, it's fine, Jesus, I got it all together. Like, how do we first acknowledge that? Like, at what point do we go, wait a minute, okay, I need to do a check here. So how do we acknowledge it? And then how do we come out from under that? Because I think sometimes it's easier, the opposite for me at least is easier. When I'm in the hard thing and I feel like things are out of control, it's easier for me to cry out to Jesus. When I feel like I got it all together, I'm like, nah, it's cool, Jesus. You know what? You do your thing over there. I got me, you know? Yeah. So what do we do? How do we get out of that mentality?
That's a really hard mentality because it's a place where we're not recognizing an issue, mm-hmm. right? Because everything mm-hmm. is going really well. I think this is one of the reasons why community friendship, discipleship is really important. Because when we are sharing our lives with someone, specifically like the very intentional kind of discipleship type relationships where we have someone who is checking in with us and who is speaking into our lives, you know, they, if they, you know, are spiritually mature, are going to recognize that something's going on there and they can kind of help say, hey, let's talk a little bit more about that. They can kind of probe and, so that's one big thing. Another thing that I would say is this is one of the reasons why it's so important to regularly be in God's word and be asking God the question, God, show me my heart, reveal to me my sin, reveal to me the ways that I am, living out of my own strength. And if you ask the Lord to reveal you your sin to you, he will. When he does, I know this is back to what I said before, but find someone that you can share that with. You know, a few years ago, the Lord really revealed to me a sin of pride in my life. And that's really what this is, right? When we are thinking we've got this, like we're in control, everything's good, that's pride telling us that, hey, we can be like God. We don't need to let him be God, which is back to like the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Oh, I want to be like God. And we follow in their footsteps and try to do the same. We try to be like God. But when the Lord revealed that to me, that sin of pride, which he's still working on and probably will be for the rest of my life, one thing that I did was share that with some trusted friends and a mentor. And there's something about speaking it out loud and sharing it that one makes you actually see how dangerous it is and how serious it is, but also brings it out into the light and allows people to come alongside you in your battle against sin. So I will always say just that the community is so important. I also think that comfort is one of the biggest weapons that the enemy uses against us in our walk with the Lord. That when our lives are going according to plan, when our plans are not shaky or they don't seem uncertain, when we feel secure and comfortable, then we often don't see our need for God. And Natalie, you mentioned this earlier and even about the last month's podcast, but I do believe that oftentimes the Lord disrupts our plans and disrupts our lives in order to show us our need again for him and and the joy of dependence. He shows us that we might think that what we are doing is best, but that we so desperately need him. There's a quote that I read recently from Augustine's Confessions, where he's talking about this life that he was living apart from Christ and how he was continuing in it and wanting to continue in his own way. And he said in this quote, my God of mercy, how good you were to me, for you mixed much bitterness in that cup of pleasure. And so this mercy of the Lord bringing about discomfort, shaking us up in a way that allows us to realize that we are actually on this path of destruction apart from him on our own. Yeah. And so I would say, please don't overlook those moments when the scary diagnosis comes or you end up in the hospital with your child or there's an issue with your job or you lose a loved one suddenly, or maybe you're in a season of burnout. Whatever these disruptions are, don't ignore them, because God is calling us to dependence on him when our sense of control is shaken. And so it's my prayer that we would see every disruption as a reason to relinquish that control afresh and return to dependence on the Lord.
Okay, so that's where we're heading next, is when we feel like things are out of control. But before we do that, I loved what you said about having somebody that you trust that you can you can reveal these things to. I mean, it's so essential that we give somebody that permission. Mm-hmm. Because it's really hard if you have a, like, think of a close friend who, you know, they got this thing that's like, they probably shouldn't do that. Or every time that they, you know, cut off their husband when we're hanging out, it's a little awkward. You don't want to bring it up.
Right.
But if they come to you and say, you know what, I have this really bad habit of doing this. It's very disrespectful to my husband. Say, I'm mm-hmm. cutting my husband off all the time. I'm bringing this up because this is me. I cut my husband off all the time. I know this about myself and I need somebody to hold me accountable. This is like a fresh revelation here. I'm like, I do this. Hmm. This is me. Anyway, so there's a thing though. And unless I give somebody the permission mm-hmm. to say, hey, how's that going? And to have that conversation, I'm never going to have that conversation with anybody except for probably my husband, who's like, Natalie, you did it again. Yeah. You know?
Yes.
And for me to come before the Lord and be like, Lord, help me with this. But when you have somebody mm-hmm. who's asking you, who's walking you through that, and I know that seems like a small thing, but in small things and in big things, if we have that person in our life, gosh, what a difference that makes.
Yes.
For us.
Yeah.
In that season of feeling like we've got it all together and everything's okay, it's like, no, actually, mm-hmm. we don't. We just don't fully right. see.
You're absolutely right. And if you don't give someone permission, they're probably not going to say anything, right? Because it feels uncomfortable. That's not really my place. One of the best gifts that one of my friends gave me, and I had never experienced this before. One of my dearest, closest friends came to me, you know, a few months into our friendship, and she said, hey, this might feel really awkward, but do you want to be my friend? Like really be my friend? Like, let's make sure that we're checking in on each other and let's hold each other accountable and let's push each other towards growth in Christ. And I felt like I was like having a DTR, you know, like it was almost like I was, like I was like starting like a dating.
Yes. For those of you who don't know, a DTR, D is define, T is the, R is relationship. So any of you who have been in like Christian dating scene, that's like a thing. It's like, did you guys have a DTR? Yeah. Did he define the relationship for you?
Is it so, Facebook yes. official now, right? Facebook's yeah. so gone now, right? But yeah, so I felt like we were having this friendship DTR and it was mm-hmm. so different than anything I'd ever experienced. It's very countercultural, but do you know what? That has been one of the most fruitful friendships that I've ever had. It gives us this space where, oh no, we know that we have permission to call each other out lovingly, to say, hey, this is an issue, or hey, you brought this up and I'm seeing it come up again. And it's hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say it's all rainbows and butterflies. It's hard. Those kind of relationships are not easy. And sometimes you have to apologize for the way that you say something or being insensitive, you know, there's a lot you have to work through, but it is so worth it. And so be the person who's willing to have the awkward DTR and to say, do you want to like really be my friend?
Do you want to be like more than friends, like friends still, but like friends, like on a deep level?
Yes,
can we do that together?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an awkward conversation, but so worthwhile.
Yeah. And I would say also do the same thing with like a mentor that you would want in your life. You know, so this was a friend who's kind of, we're in the same place, we're growing together spiritually, but also someone who's further along than you, who you can say, hey, I want this relationship to be one of you sharing wisdom and pouring into me and holding me accountable for these things. I think that that's really, really important too.
I love that. Okay. We could talk a whole lot more about that, but I feel like we're straying off the path a little bit. So let's pull it back in. We're going to talk about Jesus being in control, but really like we need somebody to tell us like, hey, you are acting like you're the boss of your own life and you're not actually a very good boss of your own life. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about specifically how you're failing at that.
Right.
But what about those times when we have the opposite problem? Mm-hmm. When we are just sinking and everything feels dark and out of control. And it's like, you know, Jesus may be spinning those planets, but I'm over here just spinning. And what is he going to do for me? So what would you say to the person who that's their struggle is like, how do I trust Jesus with this thing or these things in my life that are really, really out of control?
Yeah. I think I would acknowledge it is really heavy. You know, all these things that you're carrying, it is too much. It's too big. It's too overwhelming, but it's not too heavy for Jesus. You know, when he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. He talks about how he will take your burden and that you take his yoke upon you and it is easy and light. And I think we can be so reluctant to follow that invitation. And maybe it's because we think that we should be able to hold it all together. I think there can be some shame associated with that. You know, like, no, I should be able to carry this. Everybody around me is saying, look at all these things that I'm doing and I can have it all. I can do this and this and this and this and everything's good. And so there's kind of this crushing shame of why can't I do this? And so we just try harder. But Jesus's call to us is you were never meant to hold it all together. This was never your job. I never intended this for you. You were meant to be yoked to the one who carries all things, who holds all things together. And what a relief that is. I think that there also might be a sense of we're just afraid that if we relinquish control, that we might not like the outcome, that we might not like what Jesus does with it. And that is hard. I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It goes back to the idea that we are waiting for something that we have not yet seen, that we are awaiting a homeland, that we are waiting for the day when Christ makes all things new. And I think for some of us, we might truly believe, yep, he's going to work all things together for good. He's going to make me more like him. And one day it's all going to be new and restored. But I also know that that's a painful process and I kind of just don't want it in the meantime. You know, like it is painful. But I think that the more that we walk with Jesus and the more that we relinquish control, and honestly, the more painful things that we experience, we begin more and more to know the comfort of Jesus there with us. We begin to actually be able to look back and say, okay, that was incredibly painful, but also Christ was with me. He never left me. Yeah. He was with me all along. And so I might sound like a broken record, but I think it is so important that we are spending time looking at Jesus through his word, that we are spending time in prayer, that we are spending time with him, because we are not going to trust him if we are not spending time with him. We're not going to trust him if we aren't getting to know him. And the more that we do that, the more that we are able to trust, okay, his sovereign care for me really is for my good, even if it hurts, even if I can't see how. Doesn't mean we don't fear the pain. We do. I mean, Jesus feared pain, right? He knows what that's like. But I think the more time that we spend with him, the deeper and deeper that trust becomes and the sweeter it is to walk with him through it.
I love that. Okay, so we are getting close to the end, but you recently wrote a Bible study and it's about the it's about the seven I am statements that Jesus makes in the book of John. And as you're talking about this, I'm like, I got to get to that question because I want to hear your answer. Jesus says all these different things. Like, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, you know, I'm the good shepherd. I am the bread of life, and all these I am statements. And they are beautiful statements. And I love how you've woven this idea of rest through this conversation, how you've woven this idea of home through this conversation. So oftentimes Jesus uses these picture images so that we can understand what he's talking about. He's talking to us like we are those 7-year-olds, like we talked about at the beginning of our conversation. So if you think about those I am statements that Jesus makes, what is one of them that you feel like would really address this need that we have to trust Jesus as the one who can lead us and who is good and can be in control and is in control of our lives?
Yeah. You know, this is actually a hard question because I think so many of them do. And I'm sitting here torn between two that I really want to talk about, but
yes, I'm waiting with bated breath because I'm like, which one is she going to pick?
Just know there's not just one. You know, we can talk about this more, but I think one that really wraps up this idea and especially the application of these I am statements is his 7th one. And this is in John 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so it is this picture of Jesus as this vine, this life-giving plant. And we are like branches shooting off from the vine. If we are not connected to the vine, we cannot live. You know, we cannot do anything. We can do nothing apart from Christ because he holds all things together, right? Because he holds it all together, we can do nothing apart from him. And so this call that he gives us is abide in me. And we hear that word abide a lot and it kind of loses its meaning because it's on coffee cups and wall canvases and all of those things. But it means remain. It means dwell. It means stay, right? This idea of staying with Jesus, abiding with him, remaining connected to him, not having this attitude like, I am my own vine and I will grow where I please, but I need the vine. I need Christ because if I am cut off from him, if I turn away from him, then I'm hopeless. I can do nothing apart from him. And so again, it's back to that idea of spending time with him, of resting in who he is, of even abiding in his word. He tells us in this passage, just abide in my word, remain in my word. And there is so much benefit and growth that comes from being saturated in scripture. That's why I love what you do here, because as you're memorizing God's word, you're meditating on it, you're spending time in it, and you're putting it in your heart and your mind so that you can return to it, right? So it's a way for us to do what Christ has called us to abide in him, to dwell in him and to dwell in his word. And so, like I said, I wish we could talk about the Good Shepherd. And I wish
know,
we
that
could
was
talk
the other
about
one that I was wondering.
Yeah, well, you started saying leading and him being good. I'm like, I think Natalie wants me to talk about the Good Shepherd. But
I wondered if you were going to talk about the Good Shepherd or the vine, because I was like, you know, that's a great one.
Well, and here's the thing about the way that these I am statements are structured is you have these 7 statements and they're really all wrapped up in I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so they're all falling under one of those categories, which is what we're talking about, right? That we need him to be the way to heaven. He's the only way. We need him to show us what truth is because he is truth. We need him to give us life because we can't do it on our own. Then when we get to the 7th statement, it's the application. It's the, okay, because I am these things, because I am the good shepherd who leads you to quiet waters and through the valley of the shadow of death and brings you out on the other side to life, because I do give you life, because I am the truth that guides you, then abide in me, remain in me. So that's why I had to go with that one. But I totally could have gone with the other one.
I love it. Okay, so here is my shameless plug for all of you listeners. We are going to the Gospel Coalition Women's Conference in 2024. Yes. And I'm going to meet Joanna in person. Yay. I'm so excited because we've never actually met in person. So that's going to be super fun. But guys, we are going to design all of the I am statements. So everybody at that conference is going to get to memorize those verses, and we're going to have kits for people to memorize those verses and lock screens and all the things that we do, yeah. because we really feel like that is just such a great way for us to partner with the Gospel Coalition.
Yes.
So if you haven't signed up for that, guys, I'm going to be there in person. Joanna is going to be there. So sign up for the Gospel Coalition Women's Conference. It's in, what is it, June like 19th, 20th, something June, around that so time?
It's June 20th through the 22nd in Indianapolis. Okay. And the theme is Behold and Believe. And mm-hmm. it's walking through the seven I Am statements of Jesus. And then this is the study that you're talking about. Let's see if I can put it here.
Yes. Camera. So the study that Joanna wrote with Courtney Doctor is called Behold and Believe. And it's looking at those seven I Am statements. That's what we're going to be going through at the conference. We're going to be looking at all those statements in depth. But yes. guys, you're also going to be able to memorize it. So yes. I am so excited. I'm so pumped.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you're on here early, Joanna, because I think the cutoff for like early registration is February, like last day of February. Yeah.
Yes. Price increases on March 1st. So it goes up $60 after March yeah. 1st. So make sure that you register. We would love to have you there. Yeah. I'm really excited for, I believe everyone who comes is going to get our theme verse for yeah. the week from yes. you.
So we're going to be memorizing a verse together that we're designing, and you're going to get a kit whenever you come to the conference to help you memorize. And it's John 20, what is it?
John 20, 31. It says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Yes. So obviously I haven't memorized it yet, but once I get that kit, I'm going to get that memorized.
Yes, exactly. We're all going to do it together.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we are so looking forward to that. And we'll have links to all of these things in our show notes, the Behold and Believe study. We'll have links to Joanna's own stuff, her book that she recently wrote on Romans. If you've got kids that want to read that, I have kids that want to read that. So I need to order that. We're going to put all those links in there. And then also we'll put the link for how you can register for the Gospel Coalition Women's Conference in 2024. Joanna, this has just been like such a joy.
It has. I have really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me today. I have enjoyed it myself. And whenever we have an interview, I always pray that God would be pleased and that it would first be something that ministers to our hearts. And gosh, my heart has been so ministered to. So thanks for joining me today, Joanna.
Thank you so much.